Accession number 14898, reel 2.
Mr. Cusson's reel 2. I think you were telling me that at Dorchester you didn't really do any tactical training. It was all basic.
Quite.
So it was...
Exactly, yes.
Physical training?
Yes, you name it. That type
arms
thing.
Drill?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, and... well, that went on, as I say. I went into hospital and then down to here to Taunton. And from there, I went, after leave, I went back to Southend, where there was a combined infantry depot for some time. I can't remember, there was Cornwall, I think, Surrey's and so forth. People waiting for postings, and I remember, too, back to Southend came the remnants of the Cornwall's 1st Battalion, that had been more or less wiped out in the desert.
In 1942?
In 42, yeah.
Do you remember them saying anything about what had happened?
No, I think most of these people that came back had not actually taken part in the battle, but I know that, I'm not. I could refer to it in the regimental history, but I'm not actually quite au fait with it. There were about, I think, several hundred who escaped, and were not. And eventually, they went to Cyprus, and then I understand the battalion was going to be reformed and. But they were taken in, so absorbed into other regiments, much to their disappointment.
As you were, it was 4th Battalion, wasn't it, who were at Southend?
Well, no.
It wasn't?
No, it was a combined infantry depot.
Oh,
there,
you see.
It was a mixture, you see. And from there, I went to Colchester, to Gujarat Barracks, terrible place. And I was there for a little while, and then I went down to Manningtree, or rather Mistley. The battalion was split up at East Burgholt and Manningtree and Mistley. I think there were two companies of it at Mistley.
What was wrong with Gujarat Barracks at Colchester?
Well, the place ought to was built in the, I don't know whether it was the Napoleonic Wars, but... It was an absolutely shocking place. The place ought to have been condemned long ago. In fact, I was living in what had been in peacetime married quarters, and it was absolutely shocking. I wouldn't keep a horse in there. And the married quarters at that time, there was one loo shared between two families. Well, things were very, very primitive, to say the least.
How many men did they have sharing those married quarters?
Oh, I don't know. I couldn't hazard a guess. There seemed to be dozens of us, and there was a sort of a scramble every morning to running up and down the street to try and find an empty one.
and when you were at Southend, presumably that was a short...
Westcliff, I think.
Yes. Exactly. What were you doing there? Were you just waiting to be posted?
Yes,
somewhere?
Yes, very little.
Very little. And then you were posted, was it at... where did you join the 4th Battalion?
I went on from Colchester, I joined them at Mistley. It was only just down
at
the
Mistley,
road, really.
Right.
And then we were doing a certain amount of training, nothing very much. And then very shortly afterwards, we moved the whole division, moved to... that was 45th Div. We moved to Northern Ireland. That was the 4th Battalion, and we were then at Castle Dawson, and then we started training, doing a certain amount of field training up to a certain level, and then life was very pleasant there, and food was excellent, eggs and bacon every morning for breakfast, I will remember. And from there we moved to Banbridge, in the county down. And then we started training in earnest, really, from there.
So at Castle Dawson, what was that, a camp of some sort?
Nissen Huts.
Nissen Huts, yeah. And you say you started a certain amount of training up to a certain level.
Pretty well up to company level, really, and then things went on from there when we got down to Banbridge, up to the whole division taking part in these exercises. And then, we were out in the Sperrin Mountains. It was pretty grim out there, I admit. It's, we did quite a lot of, at Castle Dawson, it was a certain amount of field craft and so on, and route marches and that general sort of thing, sort of again a toughening up process, I suppose, in preparation for these exercises which came later.
And do you remember what form the exercises were? What sort of divisional manoeuvres were carried out?
Well, they were sort of a general sort of thing, sort of from taking up defensive positions to attacks and night patrols, day patrols, you name it. The lot.
Was there a lot of emphasis on night operations and patrolling?
I wouldn't say that. I think the exercises we carried out in the daytime were more than night. Although we were stuck out there for about a week at a time, and these exercises took place.
When you did a defence of exercise, what sort of positions did you take up, and
we just dug in.
You dug in?
Yeah.
When you dug in, what sort of entrenchments did you construct?
Well, you slit trenches, and I need to say, in most of Ireland, you got down a couple of feet and you were in water.
How were they actually laid out, the slit trenches? Were they one man or two man slit trenches?
Well, usually two men.
Two men.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
And were they laid out in any particular pattern?
Well, no, not really. I mean, say you just you dug them where the best defensive position was to be obtained.
Who would tell you where to dig then? Would it be the platoon
commander? He would cite his the platoon as he wanted it. I mean, say obviously the company commander would say, you know, there'd be an O group. We're going to sort of dig in here and defend the pass.
Who was your company commander at that time?
Our company commander was John McLaren, and he's such a nice chap. He must have been one of the youngest majors as a company commander, I think, in the army. I don't know quite how old he was, and I met him not so long ago. Unfortunately, he was a colonel, and he's losing his sight. But he well remembered me, and
did you see a lot of him on this training?
Oh yes, mm-hmm. Definitely. So yes, he was always in the van of things. Mm-hmm.
And who is your platoon commander? Was he?
That I can't remember quite. I mean, say we had a variety of officers that came and went at that time, and various things, and I can't remember offhand who a particular officer there was.
Mm. What was your weapon? Were you a rifleman or
rifle?
You weren't on the Bren gun.
No, well, we all were.
You were all trained on the Bren gun.
I think I could still strip one down now.
What did you think of the Bren gun as a weapon?
Well, it's been said that the Bren gun was too accurate. It didn't have it had a very narrow sort of field of not field of fire, but concentration into one particular area. It was a very effective weapon, I think.
Did you find it suffered a lot of stoppages, or
not particularly? No,
quite reasonably reliable.
No.
Now, when you were doing defences, did you have artillery deployed in support?
We did. On one occasion, they fired a live chute over our heads, which was quite entertaining. Remember the MO arriving on the scene, very disappointed. He said he was because we didn't have any casualties.
How far ahead of you were the shells landing?
Oh, 100. Well, the job does the same. Remember all this time, about 100 yards, 200 yards, I suppose. It was over very, very soft, boggy ground, so I don't think there was much likelihood of any real damage being done.
Presumably that was done to familiarise you with.
Oh, yes. Well, it was very, very good.
What about when you were doing attacks? What do you remember? What sort of form they took? What sort of formation you would use for an advance to contact? Or
well, I can say no, not really. I mean, they were just a section, you know, by section, by platoon, by company, and so forth. And, you know, you take that hill over there and take that one over there. Guess nothing really will prepare you for the real thing. I mean, say no matter, it's good exercise and so forth, but until you get face to face with much ammunition whistling about your ears, you can't sort of, nothing will substitute it for.
Did they do any live firing on these attacking exercises?
Yes, as far as I can. Well, very, very little. Some people did, but I don't think we... I can't remember much of it being done.
Were the exercises opposed? Did you have an enemy?
Or playing enemy? Yes. Yeah. As I was saying earlier on, the beds and hearts, brasses polished, were glinting like fairy lights behind these bushes. I remember that.
Do you remember of them ever using armour in support on exercise? Did you see anything of tanks or anything like that?
No, we didn't see apart from Bren gun carriers, and that was about it. I think in some cases they presented to be tanks.
What about aircraft? Did you see anything of them?
No, not that I recollect.
Effectively, it was infantry work with some artillery.
Well, that was only on one occasion. They would bring the guns in and so forth in support position, but they would, and FOO and so forth, they'd go through the drill of it, but they wouldn't fire the things.
Yeah. When But I mean, presumably you were well acquainted with the fact that you had artillery within the division, and it was...
Oh yes, we knew they were there, all right.
What about your mortars? Did they play a part?
Well, they were there, but I don't have any recollection of one firing. Now, the other thing I was going to say, going back to basic training, the only other thing I remember doing is throwing a grenade, which I had done before in the Home Guard days. But, you know, these things, I think they gradually come back.
So you had a period of, I mean, it really sounds like you had a progressive system of training. You had the basics, some of which you already knew when you were at Dorchester. Mm. And then when you went on to Castle Dawson, it was collective training up to company, and then...
Things gradually progressed from then on.
It sounds as though the division was being trained rather hard towards the end.
Oh, we were trained hard, yes. Mm. Yeah. It's a pity, really. I was thinking that I quite thought the division would see possibly action as a division, but for some time the division had been used for reinforcements. I remember the 4th Battalion there, I forget now where we were. We were on an exercise, and there was quite a number of them went off to the draft of the 5th Battalion.
So it was really a training organisation, division.
Yeah.
Do you remember who the divisional commander was, and if you saw him at all?
We did see them, but I can't remember exactly who the divisional commander was in those days. All the brigadier and our colonel. I'm not certain then whether it was Colonel Millett. We had several of them, but you know, they would come and go.
Yes.
As quickly as that. But I can remember more names from the fourth British Div than I can from those training days in Ireland.
Were you firmly embedded in a permanent platoon when you were in the division, or not?
Oh yes,
you
yes.
were. So
oh, definitely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh yes. They were very much the same when we got eventually into North Africa and then eventually Italy.
So the battalion went as a whole then to...
the 2nd Battalion went out as a whole after training. Thing.
Yes.
We were still then in the 4th Battalion,
right.
And quite a number of drafts had been sent to the 2nd Battalion, mm-hmm. and also a draft went to the 5th Battalion.
Yes.
Then suddenly we all found ourselves, several hundred of us I suppose, most of the battalion found ourselves on a draft to the 2nd Battalion.
Okay. While you were, just a bit more about Ireland, while you were in Ireland, did you get much leave or time?
Oh yes, that was the third. I mean, say the leave was went through much the same, and you could get into Belfast at weekends if one wished, without any problem.
Mm. What was there to do in Belfast?
Apart from having a meal somewhere or another, and the cinema, and I occasionally used to go and have a look at the papers in the library and things like that, but there wasn't a great deal to do.
So, presumably, eventually, as you were saying, you found yourself ordered onto a draft to go to the 2nd Battalion.
Yeah.
Did you know where they were when...
Oh, we knew where they were and what they'd been doing, you see. Mm. Of course, they were in the campaign in North Africa,
right.
To Algiers and Tunisia. Mm. I think it must have been about October 43. When we all went off on embarkation leave for a fortnight. Mm. And then we had to report back to Ballyhooston Transit Camp, I think it was known at, which was Ibrox Park, in what had been the British Empire Exhibition. Mm. I remember the QM stores, I believe, was in the Hall of India.
This was so you were in that a transit camp. How long were you in that?
Only a few days. If you get into that was, as I say, we get into Glasgow on the tram. We were there perhaps 3 or 4 days, and then we entrained and down to Liverpool, and embarked on the Monarch of Bermuda. It was a beautiful ship. And I well remember going on board, and we got in through a sally port and walking into sort of all these mess deck tables for a line, which I think had been, I don't know what class, the chandeliers and all the peacetime fittings were still left in them. And all these mess deck tables with baskets of rolls with white bread. It was a wonderful sight. And... we live really well on that.
How long did your journey to North Africa take?
I was trying to work that out the other day. I think we embarked, I think, on November the 11th. And I well remember it because there were women selling poppies. Mm. And they didn't want us to buy one. And... Then we were anchored out in the middle of the Mersey for some while. Then we went down and anchored in the mouth of the Mersey, and we tossed around like a cork. And in doing so, I believe we lost an anchor. But to then eventually we sailed off into between Greenock and Gorock to pick up this convoy, but we had to sail nearly back to Glasgow again to pick up another anchor. And eventually we set sail from there, and the weather was really rough around the north coast of Ireland. And eventually, I think there were only about two of us who saw the every meal through. And I suppose it must have been getting on for 10 days or more, because we went right out into almost to America, and then we swung south again into beautiful tropical weather with flying fishes and goodness knows, and the sea is flat as a pancake. And eventually we came round, and you could see the lights of Tangier and so forth, and then we pulled into Algiers. And I remember sort of we anchored off the bay, and what a beautiful sight in the morning sunlight Algiers looked, absolutely shimmering. And then eventually, I suppose it must have been a day or so later, we anchored in the into the port, and we disembarked, and we marched to a place near Maison-Carrée, which is on the outskirts of the town. And of course it was very, very hard going, because we hadn't done any, we'd been on board all that time, and to march was really an effort.
Did you find the climate difficult?
No, not really.
It wasn't too hot.
No, good. Don't forget, this was November, and it was life. Well, it was very pleasant. We were attached, I think, for rations to our 30th Battalion, who were doing dock guarding duties there in Algiers. And then the only trouble was that we were lying on ground sheets on the sand on the deck, and the effect was everyone had a jippy tummy. And then we went from there to Bougie to join the battalion, and we'd only been there a matter of 2 nights before we came all the way back to Algiers again. And we embarked on the boat called the Langibby Castle, which we called the Altmark. it was condition after sailing in practically luxury on the Monaco Mule, getting on that one, it was it was a bit of a shock, I don't mind admitting. And as you went through, you get weevils and goodness knows what falling into it. Oh dear. And I was thankful to get off. We eventually arrived in Port Said, and there we disembarked and entrained and went down to Cabret, which is on the Bitter Lake, Great Bitter Lake. There's a station there which I think they regulate the convoys through the canal. And then we started this assault landing training.
Can I ask you a bit more about the journey out from England when you went out into the Atlantic and came back? How big was the convoy?
I haven't a clue. We were leading the convoy. We were the biggest boat of the lot. They were dotted, dozens of them for miles. I mean, so there wasn't any problems with the voyage at all.
You had no submarine alerts or
No, I understand. The rest of the convoy, we stopped in Algiers, and the rest of the convoy went on down into the Med, and off of Bougie, I believe, they were attacked. I can't remember quite exactly what, but something happened anyway.
And apart from the bad conditions of the voyage along to Egypt, was uneventful.
Uneventful, yeah. Quite, yes. Yeah. As I say, we're all thankful to get off this tub.
So you'd gone ashore in Algiers, went to Maison Carré, and from there you went... How did you get to Bougie? Was that by...
By truck.
By truck.
Mm.
What, three-tonner?
Yes, yeah. Oh,
road combo.
Yeah.
When you got to Bougie, did you join the 2nd Battalion there?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And how were you received when you joined?
Oh, with open arms. because they lost quite a lot of men on drafts for the invasion of Italy and Sicily. They were very thin on the ground, and I since met some of them. I know how it felt then when I left the battalion, that they really hated the idea of being drafted into another regiment, which came about. As I say, Bougie wasn't all that, unpleasant place at all, from what the little I saw of it. But as I say, then we came back and eventually finished up down in, that was Christmas Day, I think, or Christmas Eve, we arrived at Cabret.
Did you have any chance to explore Algiers?
Oh, yes.
What did you make of it as a place?
Well, I couldn't say much about it. Well, I thought it was typically French, and generally speaking, people were quite pleasant, and visited several restaurants and a few meals and so forth, but I wasn't in there all that a number of times. I mean, say we could summer lift, that was the usual thing. We were about 5 miles, maybe a little bit more than that, outside of Algiers.
At Maison Carré.
Where we were, I suppose it probably would have been about 7 miles into Algiers.
Apart from, did you actually do any work or training while you were...
Nothing much.
No. Presumably you were just too busy moving about.
Well, that's right. Did a bit of marching up and down and sloping arms and so forth. And, did a bit of swimming as well. So life was quite pleasant there for a few weeks.
Okay, you got to Cabret then. You say here you started doing some...
Assault landing training.
Yes. Yeah. Was this done on the lake?
Yes. We used to go across the other side to Sinai. I mean, with assault landing training boat. Prior to that, we started off with ideas of like a climbing iron, and which would hitch on the top of the bank, and you climb up and then take up a defensive position and so forth. But then you rehearse going down the dummy side on the ladder. This thing was rigged up to like the side of a ship, into an assault landing craft.
So you had mock-ups on the land then.
Exactly. Yes. And then we did several exercises across into the Sinai, and then. We moved to another place. I can't remember exactly what it was called. It was called not so very far from Suez. And I remember going out for a day, going to Tewfik, and Port Tewfik, which was the port of Suez, I believe. And there was a cinema there, one of Tommy Shafto's cinema. And which of course was looked like a most palatial place on the outside, but there was nothing inside. Seeing Harry Roy and his band, and then we moved up to a place called a transit camp at Amaria, just outside Alexandria, and we were then. I think it was a boat called the Letitia, I'm not quite certain. We went across straight into Naples.
If I can do a bit more on this training at Cabret, you said they had a mock-up on land on the side of a ship. You had to go down a ladder or a net that
a
you
ladder.
Climbed down?
A ladder, climbed down a ladder, I think. Yeah.
Into a landing craft.
Mm.
How many men would the landing craft carry with their equipment?
Well, I don't know. But how many were these landing crafts? carry, I mean, say the thing was the same design, I suppose they'd take the best part of a, what, I'm not entirely sure on that. Part of a company, I suppose, on there. A couple of platoons, I suppose.
Because they had various sizes.
Did it
have a ramp at the front?
A ramp at the
went
front.
Down?
Yeah.
Do you remember how many times you practiced coming out of the ramp onto the shore?
I haven't a clue. No. I don't think we did actually practice that. We came down when the ramp came down. We just went.
You ran straight off.
Yeah.
When you were doing these exercises in Sinai, do you remember anything about them? About what form they took?
General sort of taking up a defensive position, as far as I can remember. And of course, the idea was, I believe, in the regimental history, it was to invade Rhodes. But I remember General Musson saying that he understood to invade Kos. But he didn't think much of the idea, really, because we wouldn't have any air cover.
Were these exercises opposed again? Did you have anyone playing enemy?
No, going into
Sinai.
No, we just went across and scratched a few holes in the ground and dug in. That was it.
Do you remember if there was any special instruction about special tactics for desert conditions or anything of that sort?
No.
Just using the same as you'd learned in Ireland.
Yeah, more or less, as far as I can remember.
Okay. So you're on the, what you said, I think it was Letitia, to go to Naples. Was that a comfortable
voyage? It was certainly better than